chunks of time what we call formal practice. And that's the language we use, is sort of formal practice and informal practice. It's always the same practice in the sense that we are trying to sustain the awake mind. But when we create a chunk of time, 9 to 11:30, 1:30, 5:30, we use a very defined format, sitting and walking meditation. And then within that, we alternate those postures and make a determination, make a resolve to use that time to really try to sustain the awake mind. And resolve is very important. So if you make a resolution, I'm going to get something, that won't work. It'll be too tense. But if you make a simple resolve, then the point of this 2.5 hours is to be awake. So when the mind starts to plan what you're going to do next year, or resent something that you did last year, whatever, you say, oh, how does that feel now? So the resolve is to come to the present moment, right? But not to deny the present moment, not to deny that the present moment is in the context of the past, right? So you see past and future as present events. You make that kind of really clear resolve. This is what I'm doing now. The figuring out, the planning later, but you're not rejecting that, right? So it's not suppression, it's not getting rid of, it's waking up to something which is a phenomenon right now. So the phenomenon of planning, the phenomenon of worry, the phenomenon of joy, the phenomenon of peace. So it's called phenomenology. Rather than me being a person who has a problem and I have to get rid of it to become something. This we call the emptiness mode of practice. It's empty of that whole storyline of self. And our study group was doing emptiness. So this is a very good essay from Venerable Thanissaro. Emptiness is a mode of perception, a way of looking at experience. It adds nothing to and takes nothing away from the raw data of physical and mental events. You look at events in the mind and the senses with no thought of whether there's anything lying behind them. This mode is called emptiness because it's empty of the presuppositions we usually add to experience to make sense of it. The stories and worldviews we fashion to explain who we are and the world we live in. Although these stories and views have their uses, the Buddha found that some of the more abstract questions they raise, our true identity and the reality of the world outside, pull attention away from a direct experience, so it's a direct experience of how events influence one another in the immediate present. Thus they get in the way when we try to understand and solve the problem of suffering. Say for instance, and this is a good example, that you're meditating and a feeling of anger towards your mother appears. Immediately, the mind's reaction is to identify the anger as my anger and to say that I'm angry. It then elaborates on the feeling, either working it into the story of your relationship to your mother or to your general views about when and where anger toward one's mother can be justified. So it's this inner argument and inner analysis in me with my anger and all that kind of duality. The problem with all this, from the Buddhist perspective, is that these stories and views entail a lot of suffering. The more you get involved in them, the more you get distracted from seeing the actual cause of the suffering, the labels of I and mine that set the whole process in motion. As a result, you can't find the way to unravel that cause and bring the suffering to an end. If, however, you can adopt the emptiness mode by not acting or reacting to the anger, but simply watching it as a series of events in and of themselves. And that's really difficult. Just as a series of events in and of themselves, just the way they are. So the language of awareness is, this is the way it feels now. And of course, as we joke, well, how else could it feel? But the point of it is to come to this sense of really clear attention. It's just this way now. You can see that the anger is empty of anything worth identifying with or possessing. As you master the emptiness mode more consistently, you see that this, This truth holds not only for such gross emotions as anger, but also for even the most subtle events in the realm of experience. This is the sense in which all things are empty. When you see this, you realize the labels of I and mine are inappropriate, unnecessary, and cause nothing but stress and pain. You can then drop them. Easier said than done. When you drop them totally, you discover a mode of experience that lies deeper still, one that's totally free. So on this retreat, you'll get discomfort. This is sort of guaranteed. Right? And pain, unfortunately, because most of you aren't used to sitting so long. I'm not used to sitting so long, so I'll get pain too. So that'll be part of the challenge of deepening awareness. So then make a resolve that when discomfort comes up, in whatever way it comes up, to see how the sense of I comes up with that. Should I move? Should I not move? When's the bell going to go? Should I sit in a chair? Should I not sit? You know, all the things that can come up. And then come back, well, this is discomfort. That doesn't mean you can't move. Move if you want to move. Then notice the moving. This is movement. So you begin to find that the awareness to discomfort and comfort and liking and disliking, and more you find the home ground of awareness is peaceful. But comfort and discomfort are going to come and go. That's a given. So what to really study discomfort, to really know discomfort with awareness, is freedom. It's a way of finding freedom. And that'll be a big part of the retreat, discomfort. In terms of just your body being able to sit through, if you've done a half hour sitting a week or a day, that's not much compared to how much you're going to be sitting now. So it's physically very, very, very challenging, right? So don't hurt yourself. Don't harm yourself. And go up to a chair if you want to sit on a chair. And if you have some yoga stretching exercises, do those. And do some physical activity. Go for a walk and use your body, because we're very, very contained when we do this. And then in the sitting, try to develop a sense of your body, a sense of balance. Try to really look at the weight on the thighs and the buttocks. Does it feel even? And that in itself is very, very helpful for body awareness. Where is the spine in all of this? How does that feel? Become familiar with the body. Then when discomfort arises, notice the aversion to discomfort, the fear of discomfort. Is it going to get less? Is it going to get more? The sitting that comes up, if you've had a really kind of a lot of trouble with your hip or something, then the anticipation of the next sitting, am I going to be able to sit through it? Keep using everything, anticipation, discomfort, to deepen awareness, to come to awareness, because that's the most relaxing thing you can do. So we have a period of sitting meditation, and then we have a period of walking meditation, period of sitting meditation, walking meditation. These are the two formats. Now, sometimes people kind of, in the walking meditation, they sort of kind of think, well, I'll go have a coffee and I'll just kill time. Just kind of hang out and look at the paintings and just think a bit. And it's sort of kind of killing time until the next sitting. But that's not the idea. The idea is to use the walking meditation as a period also of being awake. So the walking meditation, you have a chunk of floor somewhere or outside, mark the ends of the path, walk back and forth. We'll talk about that. But just use the containment of the walking path and of the sitting posture to notice what's going on. And make a resolve just to be with the way things are, to be with the way things are. Now, much of meditation is very bland, to say the least. So if you're looking for sparks and lights and deep peace, then of course you'll be looking for something, an experience that you've had, but to actually notice, be aware, the very sense of looking for something is suffering. The very sense of I need to get something else is suffering. And just to come back, oh, this is the feeling of lack. This is what it feels like. Or inadequacy, or I'm not getting anywhere. That's what it feels like. And that keeps deepening your awareness. Right? You keep doing that. Trust in that, because that's where the peace lies. You can see, if I'm just willing to be with a half hour or an hour of walking meditation, it feels like nothing is happening. Nothing's happening. Why am I doing this? Pointless. Oh, what is that? If pointlessness feels like this, and you stay with that, that's subtle. That's not gross. It's subtle. You stay with that, your mind will settle. But if you don't stay with that, and think, oh, I should be getting something, your mind will begin to scheme about what you need to get. And you'll get restless, and the whole mind will get agitated. So the subtleties of like boredom, or disinterest, or nothing's happening, or not getting anywhere, all bring up desire. Desire to become, desire to get something. And all of that we want to just deepen ourselves. That's just desire. That's just a sense of lack. The more you do that, the more you come to see that awareness itself is very peaceful. The conditions are. The conditions come and they go. Pleasant, unpleasant. So like yesterday, I got this news from the doctor, and half hour later I saw 100 geese in the air. Phew, my first flight this springtime. That was beautiful, the geese flying over. So the input of life is magnificent, it's beautiful, it's depressing. Because the news about my mom, it's not, it's depressing. What else would it be? It's not the same as geese, right? And my heart feels that, which is all fine. That's just life, it's this kind of duality. But that which knows, that which sees, oh, this is elation. This is springtime, your mind's really open. And then, this is worry, this is dark, right? But the awareness is neither, you know? And so use everything to deepen awareness. Oh, this is the way it feels now. And where this mode of emptiness is talking about is when we keep creating this sense of me, I shouldn't be this way, we argue with ourselves and all that kind of self-view. So we're just trying to see just the phenomenon of elation, phenomenon of depression, things coming and going. All right? That's the theory.
Not a practice.
Okay.